This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
First year is in the books officially for Colorado State head basketball coach Ali Faroukhmanesh, and it was a crazy season. You know, they ended up finishing 21 wins. Ended up 11-9 in the conference. At one point, they were 3-8 in the conference. It was a hell of a finish for this Rams team, and they got into the NIT. Joining me now, head coach Ali Faroukhmanesh. Coach, my friend, congrats. Your first season in the books, man. How do you feel?
Good, Brady. No, it was a fun year. Like, it was a fun group to coach. Having so many new people, not only just the players, we had 8 new players out of the 14. And then on top of that, then you have basically 7 new staff members out of your 9 people on staff. So it was a big learning curve for everyone. And then you throw in the first year coach to all that too. And it's a lot of new people. So it was fun to see us, you know, come out as strong as we did in the non-conference, and then kind of fall off there for a little bit, and injuries had a lot to do with that. But then to see us bounce back the way we did to end the season, I was really proud of the group, and it was a fun group to coach all year.
What a phenomenal turnaround it was for you guys too. I mean, that, I think it was the last day in January, you guys played that team up north, coach, and after that, you guys are 3-8 in the conference. From that point on, you said, you know what, no more. We've got it figured out. We've got this group, a bunch of new guys. And boy, everything just started to click from that point for you.
Yeah, I just kind of told them, like, hey, guys, let's just stop losing. And then they just did.
That's my advice, coach. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
It was that simple. No, they did a great job. We had a bye week after that, and I thought we kind of went back to some of the basics of what we do and how we do things. And you can lose yourself in the game sometimes and worrying about the other team too much. And we probably got to that point a little bit. We were worried about other people too much instead of just focusing on ourselves. And I thought that changed us a ton, as we just really started focusing on ourselves, how we could individually get better. What did our team need to focus on more? And then also I thought the guys just really started to buy into a different level. And that's hard to do when you're losing. Especially in today's age where there's a lot of more outside noise than I ever had to deal with, or even players in the past. I think there's just a lot of people that are coming at these kids in a different way than has ever been seen before. And so for them to keep their heads down and stay together and keep working the way they did, it doesn't happen a lot of places in the entire country. So I know I'm blessed to be able to work with the guys that I worked with this year, and the staff too. Like, I thought the staff did a tremendous job of sticking with these guys when things weren't going right.
Well, and for you, I mean, in this first year, I always looked at it, coach, like that 20-win mark. You get to that 20-win mark, and that kind of separates you. You know, that puts you up there, in my mind at least, you know, upper echelon, good to great type area. For you to do that in year one, after, again, to start the season, you're without your big guys off and on. We had some injuries there. I know you dealt with Josh Pascarelli was out a lot. Again, To battle back and find a way to get to those 20 wins. I know you're wanting more. I know that's the goal as soon as next season, as we jump to the Pac-12, but it's a phenomenal start. I don't think we can get around it.
Yeah, no, it's hard. Like, I mean, between our out of our top 6 guys, they missed over 40 games. So it was a lot of up and down in the lineups, a lot of movement, right? The hardest thing to do, especially in today's age when you're adding so many new pieces every single season, is figuring out your rotation. And the quicker you can figure out your rotation, the more success you can have. Like, I truly believe that. And it took us a while. We kind of had a rotation after Creighton, and then Rashawn got hurt. And so then we had to change that up. And then Rashawn came back, and that kind of changed things again. And then we lost those next two games, the Denver and Virginia Tech. And then he went out again. And then we come back. We go on another little run after that and beat Colorado and go from there. And you're 9-2. And then instantly the next game you play, Kyle gets hurt. And now he's out. And so now Kyle and Rashawn are both out. So it was difficult managing that, especially in your first season. But I thought we eventually figured out the rotation again and figured out, okay, we needed Kyle and Rashawn to not play together as much. We thought that was the right thing to do, and we kind of flipped that back again and went back to Kyle as the starter and Rashawn coming off the bench with a different presence, and then Carey getting back in the four-man spot with a few more minutes going forward. And I thought our staff did a good job of kind of evaluating where our guys were at and what we needed to do to change the lineups and change up who was playing better together. Right, that it changes while you're getting hurt. You're trying to figure it out, but until you have your full lineup back, you don't really know for sure. And then we were able to do that. And after that Wyoming game is kind of when we made all the changes back to what we thought was the best thing for the team.
Well, it's always about finding a way to press those right buttons, and sometimes practice can tell you so many things about your team, but it can't always tell you about what combination's going to actually work once you get into some of these games and these intense moments. You can coach up all the scenarios you want in practice, but sometimes finding those combinations, it takes those reps inside each and every game, which again, we point out so many new faces, there's only so much time to try to figure that out before you have to figure that out.
No, absolutely. And that's why I'm lucky that I had the staff I have that, I thought they did a great job of just continuing to evaluate things in different ways and look at things and from a different viewpoint without changing completely who we are. And I think that's the hard thing to do. You don't want to change your standards. You don't want to lower what you're doing, but you got to sometimes change your viewpoint on things. And I thought we did a great job of just reevaluating things and revisiting things and not being stuck in the mud of what we do, but also not forgetting who we are too.
Coach, you mentioned earlier, you know, the outside noise stuff. What was like the biggest difference for you? You're a well-decorated assistant coach. I mean, everyone that knew this program, we all kind of knew. Well, if Medved goes away, we know who's going to be the next head coach. But obviously, there's a big difference, I should say, between that assistant chair to that head coach chair, a million different things. Was there one thing in particular that kind of stood out to you?
There was a lot of things. But I think one of the things that I think stood out to me the most was just really me, same thing as we said with the guys, but trying to not let the outside noise influence you on anything. And that was hard sometimes. Like I had to get off social media completely, like not scroll anymore. Like I would literally just post whatever on there and then get off it. And I didn't have to do that as much when I was an assistant. But I think as a head coach, it's different now. So I literally tried to stop listening to the outside noise and stop listening to people that aren't with us every single day. Because it's the same thing, like, unless you are in there in practice every day or you're with the team every day or you're watching the film constantly, you don't really know what's going on. And then also leaning on the mentors that I believe in and have the same philosophy as I do with coaching and how you approach it. Cause you got to stay true to who you are. Like I'll never be Dan Hurley, right? That's not my personality, but I probably lean more towards it. Like the Greg McDermott's, the Ben Jacobson's of the world, the Randy Bennett's, those are kind of the more the people that I probably tailor myself to and whatnot. So I called those people more than anybody else and just kind of took what they did in certain areas or in certain situations, but then still had to stay true to who I was at the same time. So a little bit of not listening to people and then selectively listening to certain people. Well, and then I guess that's including my wife.
Well, and again, I follow both of you guys on the socials, and you two are just awesome. I mean, so supportive of each other. And I love that side. That's what I really appreciate about following a program closely is you get to see all those extra bits of information that goes into making, you know, who a head coach is, to making what a program is all about. And a lot of times that's family first. You mentioned the Dan Hurley thing. Coach, I mean, you got that technical. You could be well on your way to being a Dan Hurley kind of guy. I don't know.
Yeah, funny thing is, like, I tried two other times early in the year to get technicals, and they didn't give it to me.
Yeah.
And then I don't know.
My man
got a little sensitive there at the end of the game, and just because the weird thing was he kicked a fan out of the game, too. There was only, like, 2,000 people there because it was a 9 p.m. tip-off.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was March, and everyone was getting a little tired, and I think everyone was a little sensitive at the end, and it was a weird way to end it. But no, I was not expecting to get that technical.
No.
I was not trying to. That was a really uneventful way to get your first technical.
Yeah, it's not like one of those like, oh man, he's doing it to inject some life in it. It just was like, oh, there's a whistle. What happened?
No, it was because of the technical. It was stupid. Like, it was my fault. Like, I guess I should have not put myself in that position. So. My first technical was really dumb, so I'm not proud of it. Like, I don't know if you should be proud of a technical, but like that was the worst way to get a technical. To get your first one for sure.
Well, you know what? No one will care at the end of the day. And sure, coach, you're gonna have those animated ones that I don't know. Maybe you won't, but if you do, we'll remember it forever, and it's gonna be epic.
Exactly. Now I got to get a good one at some point.
You got to make it count.
I got to make it worth it. First one wasn't worth it.
Coach, I want to ask too. You talk about like being involved with the program, and there's a lot of people that don't know things. This is why we have you on. We want to ask Josh Pascarelli. I got to bring it up. You know, we saw he was battling injuries a lot down the stretch of the season. He does make his appearance. He plays in that San Diego State game and then doesn't play in the NIT game against St. Joe's. We were just talking about that game. Still the injury situation there? Because, again, people like me, people, whatever, Rams, you tend to look into that sometimes and just wonder what that means. But probably just an injury-related situation?
Yeah, no, he just the ankle got... It wasn't 100% even the conference tournament, and he came back the first day of practice on that Monday. We did like a three-line passing drill where they're getting up and down the court more, and he was just limping while he was running, and it got to the point where I was like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So he still wanted to play, but I just the way he was running and moving. If he would have played, he probably would have ended up hurting something else then eventually too. So it was just we didn't want to put him in that situation and honestly didn't want to affect us and the team in the future going forward.
Well, and that's kind of where we are with college sports, whether it's football season or basketball season. When a guy doesn't play in those, whether it's a bowl game or an NIT tournament game or something, for better or worse, some of our brains tend to go that route and wonder, well, does that mean he's not coming back next year? And I know you're still sorting through that to, you know, to be able to tell us who's coming back in the next few weeks or let the players do it. But a guy's got to ask, coach. You can't blame me.
No, 100%. Like, I it's funny. Like, after you said that, I was thinking about. I was like, yeah, I guess people probably did think that. I guess, but yeah. Right, yeah. If you know Josh, no, like that's not who he is. And we'll address all those other things at a later date. But I'll never anybody that's for the future of the team and whatnot. I'm not gonna. I want those guys to be able to have the opportunity to announce those things. And whatnot, so I'm not gonna steal anyone's thunder on any of those things.
Well, coach, I gotta ask this one then. Jevon Muniz, obviously senior. I saw this story from this post from Dan Murphy, ESPN, referring to Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, introduced a narrow college sports bill. Was this yesterday or the day? It was yesterday. That would set eligibility limits at a max of 5 consecutive years to play 5 consecutive seasons. So I just have to at least ask the question. I'm looking at it, and I count 1, 2, 3, 4. Is there a possibility of a fifth season for Jevon, or are we done? Is he gone for sure?
Well, I think with that specific ruling and whatnot, and I guess it's not a ruling yet, but it's there's a lot of things that have to get passed before anything comes to fruition with that, which I'm guessing that's probably going to go outside of Jevon's time limit right now, but he's still working on some other stuff. There's some other random outside possibilities of maybe getting a fifth year, And we're going to keep one scholarship open, possibly two. So if that did happen, I'm not saying no to Jevin Kumbach. but I think as of today, it's probably going to be hard to get that fifth year for him. But we'll definitely see what options are out there for him as well, because it was a fun year having Jevin with us.
Yeah.
It was. You never know how things are going to go exactly for anybody when you first, you know, have them commit and you see a vision for what they can do for you next year and what they can be in your system and at Colorado State. And he was exactly what we thought he was going to be. And I thought that was the best part, is like kind of the stuff that we talked about and how we viewed him and what we thought he could become here. He really did. Like, he became a better shooter. He became a better defender. And obviously his passing really translated, and it translated at a high level too. I wouldn't even say it translated. He became an elite playmaker for other people this year, and I think that's what we thought we could get him to. It was just really fun to see that come to fruition, and I think that's the best part about coaching in today's age, is you have a vision for what you think that person can do. It's almost like recruiting a freshman, but out of the portal. And to see it happen the way it did for him and for the team was pretty special.
It would be awesome to see. It would be awesome to see him get another year, you know, with you and your coaching staff. Talk about another dude like Jace Butler. Jace Butler, I mean, he just kept getting better every single game. He really started to come into his own on that stretch you went into in the season and into the conference tournament. What another great story.
Yeah, no, it's. You know, Jace and Carey kind of put them in the same category with guys that didn't get the opportunities that they wanted where they were, and maybe just didn't fit exactly at those places. And they fit pretty well here. So it was fun. It was awesome to see them grow the way they did too, because it was Jace obviously like was a little slower coming out of the gates, but man, I thought he had a great last 2.5 months. We do not win those games down the stretch without Jace, and I thought he was a huge difference maker in that. And then I thought Carey just continued all season to get better and better and better. And him too, I thought they played their best the last month of the season. And it was really fun to see them, kind of the same thing as Jevin in some ways, where it's, you have this vision for what you think they can get to, and for it to actually happen and honestly probably exceed some of it as well. There's nothing more gratifying than that happening as a coach, is to see the guys you work with every day reach that point of success and find success like that.
Coach, last one for you, and I know you're not going to break that news that these players, that's what they do now, they're going to put it out there, but can you just tell, like, are you feeling pretty good about, you know, most of this roster coming back? Because that's obviously the number one question on Rams fans' minds, is who's coming back?
Yeah, it's all about retention with this team. Like, we only had Jevin was the only senior. So the biggest thing for us is not the portal. It's not the portal. It's the retention of the group that we have. And so we're sifting through that. We've been sifting through that. And we're lucky enough. We have a great donor base and great fans and help from the university as well with Amy Parsons and the Board of Regents and obviously John Weber and the administration, they've done a great job of putting us in a really good position to be able to retain the roster. And I think we're in a way better spot than we were last year in terms of our NIL and rev share, than a way better position. We were what Jerry Calhoun said his number was, we were significantly less than that. So I think now we're in a better spot going into the Pac-12. And I think that's the biggest thing now, is there are no more, and this is not a knock on those programs, but there's no San Jose States, there's no Air Force, it's Oregon State, Washington State, San Diego State, Boise State, Gonzaga now, Texas State. There's some heavy hitters in the Pac-12 night in and night out, and to be able to compete in today's age, it is the rev share and the NIL is that's the key.
Coach Ali Farouk Manesh. Hey, I saw some cool news, too, on CSU signee Erica Feidler for being named the Colorado Gatorade Player of the Year. So that's awesome. And I know Rams fans are pumped about that news today.
No, it was awesome for Eric. And he had a great senior year. And, I mean, he he did a lot for his team. It was fun to see him navigate that too. He was getting double teamed, triple teamed all season long, and for him to still average 30 points, rebound the ball, pass the ball, make plays for his teammates. He had a really impressive senior year, and now he's only 72 days away from getting here on campus and getting going in the green and gold now too.
I love it. And I'm always careful because I don't know when and how or why I can ask or when I can ask or when I can say anything. But because I know you can retweet stuff and I know you can. Now, obviously, we're well beyond that. But I know last time I had you on, I don't think we could talk about it. So I'm excited about this young man. I think he's got a bright future with the Colorado State Rams.
Yeah, last time I couldn't talk about him yet. It was like. Like Voldemort, you couldn't say his name, but you knew he existed.
What is the rule too? Like you can repost a story about them, but you can't a story about them.
You can repost it. You can click. So you can click. You can repost. You can like it.
Oh, you can like it. Okay.
You can't comment on it.
You can't even say like wow. You can't even say that. Like wow. You can't even do that.
No, you can't. Can't quote tweet it. I could just send an encrypted tweet out that was like, wow, number 24 at that school in red up in Denver. It's like, well, then there's another kid that we have committed that I can't talk about right now that got some accolades as well that's supposed to come here, but he's in the Voldemort category right now. So.
Well, I think you should just start retweeting him and saying, I like basketball. That's our new code now. I like basketball. Yeah. That's what I mean. Hey, we did get a texter here. Where will the Pac-12 tournament be held next year? John Fort Fun wants to know, Coach.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
But, you don't have to.
I don't know exactly the exact location, but I believe it's going to be in Vegas still.
Okay.
So that won't change. I believe that's what the Pac-12 wants to keep.
Keeping
around the in Vegas. I just don't know the venue 100% right now.
Pac-12 final year in the Mount West. It's in the books, and it was a very successful year. Coach, I'm looking forward to seeing what this Rams team can do in what should be a blast of a conference with this new Pac-12.
No, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Like, I mean, I say that right now until those games start. But like night in and night out, it's gonna be a battle. And like you better believe, like Texas State hasn't been the best team in the country the last few years and whatnot. But they're in Texas, like they're going to invest some resources into that program going forward. So it's gonna be a great league. I'm looking forward to it. The better the league is, the more opportunities we're gonna have to get at large bids and. That's what it's about.
All right, Coach, my friend, appreciate you as always, and I'm looking forward to year two, which I know has already begun for you. The process has started, probably started a while ago, and as always, man, we appreciate the time and wish you the best of luck in the offseason.
No, thanks, Brady. Appreciate it.
All right, man. CSU head coach Ali Farokmanesh. And they were good this year. They found a way, man. There was a while, Mike. When they lost to Wyoming on Saturday, January 31st, I thought, this could just be maybe a learning type year for the Rams under a new coach. And they said, no, we're going for more than that. They beat San Jose State. They beat Air Force. They got revenge and beat Wyoming. They beat UNLV on the road. They beat the Aztecs at Moby. They beat Fresno State. And then San Jose State again. Oh, my gosh, they went into the pit and beat New Mexico. It was a phenomenal finish for Ali Farokmanesh and his Colorado State Rams. All right, we'll take a short break here. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.